So we remain at the beginning of Mark's Gospel with our Sunday Gospels in this still early time during ordinary time. And we're still in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And Jesus has just began his public ministry. And I think it's really helpful to just think about what's happening here early on in Jesus' public ministry. I think it tells us a lot about Jesus' ministry, but helps us to understand the ministry of the church as well. So last week's gospel, Jesus really does he performs the first miracle of his ministry. We had heard two Sundays ago, we had heard the story of the call of Simon, who would later take the name Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John. And then last Sunday, we heard the gospel of Jesus's first day of public ministry, where he goes to the synagogue in Capernaum, and he speaks in the synagogue, and then there's a man there with an unclean spirit, and he drives out the unclean spirit from the man. And then today, in today's gospel, we hear what happens after he leaves the synagogue. So we're still on day one of his public ministry. It's a pretty full day. He leaves the synagogue, then he goes to the home of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, where Simon's mother-in-law is sick. And so he heals her of her fever. And then it says, after sunset, so at nightfall, they begin bringing to him two different types of people, people who are in need of physical healing, but also people who are possessed by demons. So we could say they're in need of spiritual healing. So they bring them to all these people, to Simon's house where Jesus is. And what do we hear? That the whole town was gathered at the door. It's a pretty amazing first day of ministry. The whole town was gathered at the door. I guess if we think a little bit more about these people that Jesus is healing. So first of all, he's cast out a demon in the synagogue. This evil spirit that had taken root in this person. And who the person then was power, the, you know, where person's not able to cast out the demon of themselves, so they need God himself to do it, which Jesus does. We could think about the world, our humanity, so under the influence of the evil one. And not just, you know, this isn't just like pointing to everybody else, but it's also looking down into our own heart and to see how we too are so influenced by evil, how selfish we can be, how addicted we can be to all sorts of things. Evil is in us. We need this evil to be exercised from us too by the only one who can do that, which is God. So again, the first miracle is Jesus expels the evil spirit from the man. The second miracle is this physical healing. You can think of all the physical problems that we have. Sicknesses, injuries. And so what we have on display in these representative people, if the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue, and we have Simon's mother-in-law, these representative people who are simply examples of the disordered human nature that we have. And where does that disordered human nature come from? Well, it comes from sin. God didn't make our human nature to suffer like this. He didn't. But what do we see happen at the beginning of the Bible in the garden? We see the enemy tempting the man and the woman to disobey God. And so they do, and immediately disorder enters into humanity and creation. God did not create a disordered humanity. Humanity disordered itself by rebelling against the Creator. And And so this is the fruit of original sin. It's the man and the woman who allow the serpent to influence them. It's, who's that? That's the devil. Just like we allow ourselves to be influenced by the enemy, succumbing to his temptations, and how we suffer then, one of the effects of the garden is toil and labor and tension in the relationship between the man and the woman, and physical death. That's something that the church has always taught, that suffering and death is not the way that God created us, but it's a result of the fall. It's a consequence of sin. And so these are the things that we get to suffer now. But what do we see Jesus doing when he enters the stage, when he starts his public ministry? He begins the work of ordering the disorder, casting out evil spirits, healing those who are sick and injured. God comes on a rescue mission in Jesus to save his people from their sins and from the consequences of their sins. That's what we see in today's gospel. And everybody needs it. The whole town's there. It's not like just a few particularly messed up people need Jesus. The whole town needs him. So anyway, I think just even seeing what Jesus begins doing immediately upon beginning his public ministry helps us to understand who he is and what his mission is. God's on a mission to order the disorder and to save his people, to heal from the consequences of sin, original sin. So I guess I just want to point out something that I think is rather interesting. When he goes to the home of Simon and Andrew, we hear that Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. She couldn't even get out of bed. They tell him about her. And so what does he do? He goes to her, he takes her hand, and he helps her up. Doesn't even say that he said anything to her. But it's just the touch of Jesus is so powerful that heals. So what does it make me think of? Well, it makes me think of the work of the church, which is simply to continue Jesus' presence and ministry on earth. And how does that happen? Well, it's through the sacraments. And so just this morning, for instance, I baptized the baby of one of my cousins at the church in Waconia. And I just poured water over this child's head. But it was a personal encounter. And what did that do? Well, it worked a miracle in that child's head, or child's heart and soul. Before the baptism, there's actually an exorcism prayer that we pray. Why? Because until we're touched by the sacrament, we're under the domain of the evil one. And the evil one has to be rid from us, and then we can be cleansed with the waters of baptism. And so that's what happened to this little baby because of his parents' faith, that Jesus touched him directly. Well, I mean, he used me, but it's not me who baptizes, really. It's Jesus who baptizes through the priest or the deacon. And so what happened this morning at that church in Waconia is that evil was exorcised from this child, and he became a son of God. Jesus came to live in him, and that changes him forever. Now, of course, like everybody else, he's going to struggle with sin and temptation. But the good news is that Jesus continues his healing work and throughout our life. That's why we have the sacraments. So that we can actually grow in holiness and we can be healed of all of the yuck that sin is and causes inside of us. So that with every encounter with Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation, we're forgiven and healed. Every time we receive the Eucharist, Jesus touches us directly, just like he touches the woman in today's gospel and she's healed. This is what happens whenever we receive the sacraments. It's a personal encounter, a personal and direct encounter with Jesus. When the priest anoints a sick person, he places his hands on the person's head and the ritual says, without saying anything. What does this remind us of? Well, it's the power of Jesus, who doesn't need words to heal. So God saving us from the disorder caused by sin began on the day that our parents brought us to the baptismal font. And thank God that they did. We're so blessed because that means we become God's children. Now, no longer under the power of the evil one. But God knows our healing is gradual, so we need the sacraments throughout our life. That's why God gives us the sacraments, so that we're receiving the Eucharist, receiving the sacrament of reconciliation. When we become sick, we receive this anointing of the sick. When it's time for us to become married, there's a sacrament there. Why? So that we can be sanctified through our marriage. So the work itself doesn't change. Jesus does his public ministry on earth, and he dies on the cross for us. He rises from the dead. He ascends into heaven, and he commissions his apostles to go and to be him in the world. And so what are his apostles doing now? They're celebrating the Eucharist, forgiving sins, anointing people. They're doing the same work. But look at the difference. While Jesus's public ministry was limited to a very small region of the Middle East, but now with the church, through the ministry of the apostles, Jesus can be all over the world, healing, saving. This is part of his salvific plan for the whole world. It's through the church, through the sacraments. What we read about today in the gospel that amazes us so much maybe makes us think, oh my gosh, I'm in need of healing too. Jesus continues that work here in Glencoe, Minnesota, 2,000 years later, through the ministry of the church, through her priests. So today it's good for us just to give thanks to God for the fact that Jesus touches us today in no less powerful way than he touched Simon's mother-in-law. It's the same Jesus who touched Simon's mother-in-law and healed her, who's going to come into our body today in the Eucharist if we're receiving Holy Communion. So today, let's ask God to give us a renewal in faith in his working, in his presence and working through the sacraments. And let's not hesitate to be like the people of Capernaum, who, when they heard that the healer's here, they bring everything that needs to be healed to Jesus. So we can think of all the ways that we need healing in our life. Freedom from attachment to sin and addiction. Physical healings that we need. All of this tonight. We're in Capernaum, and Jesus is here. Let's be like those wise townspeople who don't hesitate to bring everything to the one who can actually heal.